Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, I'm going to do the prophet's corner cut, uncut first. January 16th, 2022, and it kind of goes along with the word of prophecy we had. You know, we're so taught that we have to do everything for ourselves, you know, traditionally. We think we have to do everything. Danny asked me the other day about something, and I said, well, I think the answer to whatever the question was, I don't even remember. I just said, just being thankful. And on the other side of that, I think it has more to do with just casting care. You speak and you're going about your business and you're not fretting and you're not trying to do this and that to try to get it to perform it. You think you got to say it over and over and over and over because that's the way we were taught. And they didn't mean it the way that we took it. They were probably right in what they said. Yes, it renews the mind. But the fact is, Jesus didn't speak to the fig tree over and over and over and over and over and over and act like he hoped one of these days it's finally going to do what he was saying. No, he just went about his business. And it just happened. Why? He didn't carry any care about it. He didn't try to pick it up and do it himself and perform it. See, when we get our thinking into the mix, well, God's going to back off and say, well, I thought they gave it to me, but I guess not. We'll just let them do what they're wanting to do and deal. Title of this is Breaking Out of the Rut. You're so used to taking care of yourself that it's a new concept to cast the care of it on the Lord and let the Lord do it. Absolutely, your hands off of it. You don't even think about it. Just think about that. This is a song the Lord gave me back in 3/12/97. I mean, long time. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to recite it. It's a psalm. It's called Traditional Thinking. Traditional thinking, it's really stinking. Let go of those mindsets and come up higher with me. Traditional thinking, it's really stinking. Now is the hour of my power. Traditional thinking, it robs you of my power. Traditional thinking, it's not for this hour. If you look around you, the whole world is geared around care, fear, everything. Send out these surveys. What is your biggest concern? Is it health care? No, I don't have any care. Think about it. Traditional thinking. Run to the doctor for everything. We're told by charts from the time we're in, well, we didn't go to kindergarten, but the first year you're in school, they start ramming down you their traditions of men and their what the doctor says, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. The kingdom of God is the real tradition that we need to have, the real tradition. Those are the traditions. I said, Lord, just think about all the things. Glasses, hearing aids, dental work, all the stuff that you go through, all the regimens that you're put under, like a cattle. Cattle. I watch Big Daddy do that. Take them cows in there and he'd give them shots and he'd clip the little horns off of the little calves and just all the stuff, just like cattle, just like sheep led to the slaughter. That's the way we've been done our whole life. We've been treated like stock, with even a stock certificate. But the kingdom of God is the type of kingdom that is so foreign to us that it's so difficult for people that have even been in the faith walk for a long time to even get the blow fuzz off of a peanut. Why? Care. Just flat care. Just not believing your words like Mark 11:24 says. If you believe the words that you say, you can have whatever you say. And this comes from that traditional thinking where we've been steeped and indoctrinated into it. The whole church is under it. Traditional thinking, it's really stinking. Put on my mind, it's time for the church to arise. Traditional thinking is really stinking. It will neutralize the word working in your life. You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to be carefree or you're going to carry care. There's the two camps. And if you do anything in this world system, it's still all steeped in care. Traditional thinking, let me in and clean it out. Traditional thinking, don't resist me and pout. Well, won't the Lord do something? Traditional thinking, it's really stinking. Take off those grave clothes and put on the garment of praise. Traditional thinking, it's really stinking. Be loosed, you're free, it's resurrection day. That was back in 97. Think I knew what I was talking about then? No. But a lot's happened in between, thank God. All right, John chapter 11. If we will ever get this into our thinking, that we just go about saying, when we hear something we don't like or we see something we don't like, we just say, no, this is the way it's going to be. And then we just go on about our business. That's the way God meant it to be. That's to be as natural to us as breathing. He meant for you to say something about everything. But He meant for you to say what you wanted. And that's, you know, we see what we see today because of the programming. We've gotten exactly what we wanted. The church is sick, broke, half dead, full of demons. Satan seats in the church. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's sickening. It's horrible. But it's the truth. All right. Verse 1 here. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lord, won't you come do something? When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, people that don't get answers from God, they turn their back on God and say, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. Is that true? No. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I don't understand why the Lord won't do something. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth in the light of this world. What's the light? Carefree. The disciples, well, you know, they're blah, blah, blah. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth. In the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They were pretty dense, you know what? They really were. They were like us. Just dumb as a stump when it comes to the things of the Spirit, but really wise in it. But you know, you better not go there, they're going to kill you. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Why? Because they were so far from spiritual things. When spiritual things were spoken, they could not conceive them. They could not receive them. Just like today. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm getting to where I'm absolutely, there's certain people that I know that they ought to know some things by now. And I just want to go, oh, geez, Louise, I can't take this. Just run out of the house screaming. Ever feel that way? But Jesus, he bore with them. There was times he said, are you so lame? Haven't I told you these things? And like, I'm not talking about a loaf of bread. I'm talking about the Pharisees. I'm talking about their indoctrination. I'm talking about their anti-God narrative. And they think he's talking about a loaf of bread. Talking about being in the third dimension as opposed to the fifth. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent you may believe, nevertheless let us go into him, or unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow citizens, let us also go that we will die with him. Well, I know Thomas, doubting Thomas, he wouldn't die with him. He'd run off somewhere probably, leave him in the lurch. You always got the one in the bunch. Well, you know what they say. Have you ever tried to figure out who they are? They are fake news. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. You know what? Four is a foundation number. Foundation. Four. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary, or Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house, or sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It's your fault. Let's just put it in layman's terms here. Your fault. If you'd have done what you said. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Here Jesus is trying to tell him he'll rise again. I know at the end. No, you did. I'm talking to you right now. He'll rise. Jesus is speaking what he wants over a dead man. Over a dead situation. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary's sister secretly, saying, The master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It's your fault. You got all the professional grievers at the church to come and grieve with you. Who wants that? I don't need to hear about how, well, the Lord will help you through. Maybe. Like Brother Hagin used to say, I don't have any valleys. Well, you're just in the valley. He said, I don't have any valleys. The walk of faith doesn't have any valleys. I'm talking about stinking thinking here today. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, probably over, dear God, these people, so wonder, Lord, we can get anything done. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that this man should not have died? It's your fault. God's fault. He didn't do it. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. We've been talking about in the regular teaching about learning to flow in the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about the supply of the Spirit. What was happening here? Intercession was going on here. Jesus wept not because he felt sorry for Martha or Mary. He'd been probably praying the whole way there. Lord, okay, I know this is what you want me to do. And getting instruction from the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do anything independent of the Father. They kept telling him, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. No. He had to have the supply of the Spirit just like you do. He had to follow the Spirit just like you do. That's what's going on here. You can see up here. Groaning in himself. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Yeah, there's that stinking thinking. I remember years ago when one of the pastors we had was here, I told him, I said, yeah, all Martha could think about was getting out the pine saw. He stinks. Well, you can see why she thought that way, because she did all the work, Mary, you know. But that natural way of looking at things has kept many in the grave. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What is he talking about? The journey. The man's interceding. He's seeking God. He is listening to the Spirit. He's travailing. He's groaning. Even weeping. And I know that thou heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Do you think Lazarus, after he rose from the dead, had a different mindset? You think he might think things differently now? He'd been to the other side. I believe this story is symbolic of our own personal resurrection. We have been raised to newness of life. We don't have to live under that old way anymore. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what this kingdom walk is about, newness of life. And the Lord brought this up to me. I couldn't find it. Brother Hagin, he was at a church and he had been praying at the altar and he was doing this. I think it was like this. And he didn't even know what he was doing with his fingers. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, you have gone back, I think it was the same church, I don't know. It was 5 to 12 times. I don't remember. It was multiple times. He just back to the same old, same old, same old. And the Lord said, I'm trying to break you out from that cycle, that rut that you're in. He told him to get out of the churches. Start going to neutral sites. Because that traditional garbage was keeping him chained in that circle. I did the same thing. I've had that happen to me, that same old thing that you think because you're traditionally taught that you have to do it traditionally, traditional ways. You either come up through their ranks and you are pointed out and appointed by them, or you ain't nothing. And especially if you're a woman, you ain't nothing. One time, I don't mean this to be gross, but I remember somebody, it was after the people did what they did, and this lady, one of the ladies that really wasn't in on it, but she didn't really do much to resist it, she called me and she said, I don't know what she even called me for, but I said, well, you know, A man can get up there and he can cut wind and they think it's holy. And I said, for a woman that's anointed, they don't even see you. And she just started laughing. I said, it's the truth. It is the absolute gospel truth, and it is a travesty. Because God doesn't see male and female in the body of Christ. All these traditional things that try to keep you down and keep you back. I'm so glad he pulled me out of that. That traditional. I don't think it could have ever done anything in the system. I would have gone nowhere as a woman minister in the system. And you wouldn't have either. All right. Brother Hagin's traditional thinking was hindered him from obeying the Spirit. Back in his day, the only offices there were even in knowledge was pastor and evangelist. God called him to be a prophet and a teacher. So Father's will went against church doctrine, traditional, their will. Eventually, the Lord told him to get out of the churches and meet in neutral places. He had religious strongholds. This is an example. He went to preach. In the little church he was at, he was planning everything for Mother's Day. He had songs. The children were going to sing songs about Mother's Day. He had a wonderful Mother's Day service planned and all of that kind of stuff. And the Lord had him switch it up and teach. He said, Lord, nobody's going to listen to no teaching. Back then, they don't hear no teaching. There's all the windmill arm swinging preaching. And he said, Lord, they're not going to come. They're not going to listen. Well, he obeyed the Lord and laid aside his nice little program. And all these men that only come once, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, come down the front and got born again. Affected, I think it was at least 5 men, families. See, when he broke out of that traditional box, God could work. But when you got your own little plan, and this is the way it's got to be, God can't work with that. He can only work with his plan. He won't work with your plan, okay? That's why so many ministers have come in and out of this area and shipwrecked. Was it their plan or was it God's plan? All right, we have a choice, his plan or tradition. Jesus said, the traditions of men nullify the word of God. That's that bunch who are going to say, well, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did mighty works in your name. He said, I don't even know you. He still honors his word, which is amazing, but that doesn't mean that he's in it, I guess. That kind of indicates that even though they used his name, he performed what he said he would with his word, but because they weren't following him, it was not his sanctioned work. I'm telling you, I don't want to do anything outside of his will. Like I said, I would rather be here with you two for eternity and know I'm in God's will than try to step out and do just something. Because the main thing, the biggest important thing in my life is to stand before him and hear him say, well done, you good and faithful servant. That's what matters to me. That's top priority. Not that I don't love other things and people and all kinds of things, but that's top priority because that's eternity. You got to get that right. That has to be right because God is not looking at how many. We're not building our own works in masses of people. That's not what it's about. It's about what God wants you to do. You have to do what he tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And I even learned that in giving. You can get into this traditional thinking that the more the merrier. I'm sure whenever all those leaders were throwing in all their wealth and Jesus saw the widow that tossed in two mites, he said, she gave more than all of them. Probably she was prompted by the Lord to give and it was very little. The others just did it for a show. So it's not about that. It's about obedience. It's better. I tell a story of being in a service where this guy said, "Lord, how much you want me to give? $100?" He said, "How much you got in your wallet?" I said, "I got $3." He said, "Give it $3. $3? Really? That's all? $3. Obedience is better. All right. I personally went through this for many years. I was like Brother Hagin, thought I had to go back and correct something before I could move forward. Finally, over these 7 years, or over 7 years ago, the Lord led us back into the house. Being the house went against church tradition, but it is God's will. I'm over that now, and I'm so glad that the Lord has worked that out of me. I, like Brother Hagin, went back to where I thought the Lord needed me to go. And it was the year I was at that place, it was pure hell for me. Absolute hell. But it made me never want to step foot in that place again unless God specifically told me to go. And I said, "Lord, I will never step foot in this place again until they say, 'Blessed is she that comes in the name of the Lord.'" Because it's sanctioned by God. That's what they said about Jesus the week before, Palm Sunday. "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And I mean every word of it. I thought, never will I find myself in a place like that again. Never. I'm so glad the Lord showed me that. Was it painful? Yes, it was painful. Anyway, I know it's hard to break out of ruts. We've been in them our whole life. And I've heard people say all a rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. All right. Someone that I know, I even called them on the phone because I know they have gone through this. And I just told them, I said, "You have no obligation to do anything except what God says. And don't you let anybody tell you any different." All right. How can we get out of this rut? I said here, by praying in the Spirit is one way. The Lord's been teaching us about the supply of the Spirit. We need His help for everything. Our whole destiny in God is based on the supply of the Spirit, not church tradition. Not, well, we do it this way here. Well, we do it the Spirit's way here. How about that? And it may be different every minute of every day. All right. Acts 13, we're going to look a little bit. We've looked at this before. We're going to look at it again. Just a couple of scriptures here. This is Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. They were on divine assignment. This is the way everything ought to be. You understand? This isn't just an exception because Paul was an apostle. This is the way church needs to be. The Holy Spirit has the supply for the destination that He has planned for your life. All of them. Every leg, every step, He has supply. Stop wearing yourself out trying to do it yourself. One of the things I've said to you over and over is this: I usually don't have to ask. The Lord just tells me what He wants me to do, and I do it. Just like Jesus' mother said to people at the wedding, Whatever He says to you, do it. At first, Jesus said, woman, what's it got to do with me because they're out of wine? And the next thing, the Lord spoke to him and told him what to do. She said, she had an inside track. She said, whatever He says to you, you better do it. Can you imagine empty jugs of water taken to the governor of the feast, thinking, I'm about to lose my job? Traditional thinking would think that way, right? And they see him dipping its water, and they go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then when he drank it, oh, that's the best wine I've ever had. They're going, oh. Learning to trust the Lord and His ways, traditional thinking, it's stinking. All right, John 2. You know, I just read that. I just told you that, so I don't need to read that. All right, let me say this to you. What is the last thing the Lord told you to do? Are you doing it? Stop worrying about what He hasn't told you yet. Get busy doing what He has already told you to do. He knows where you are at. Take care of His business, whatever He has instructed you to do. Then He will take care of your business. This is another way to break out of the rut. You don't farm a rut. We all have our routines that we do every day. But when it comes to the things of God, He may tell us something to do differently every day. And some days He may not tell us to do anything. So to me, stopping carrying care is probably the biggest thing. To me, care is you're relying on your means and methods and ways. Those who are not in care, they're just always looking on the inside just for any opportunity or anything the Lord might say, but they're not fretting about it. They're just staying in tune with the Holy Spirit. They're just going about their business, and the Lord will say, give them that or do this. Go there. And that's the way we're supposed to live. That's the way Jesus lived. Just track His works. Just track how He went and what He did. And on the other side of that, He prayed a lot of times all night to God. He knew where the supply of the Spirit was. He might could get a few hours of rest, but on the other side of it, the supply of the Spirit was what He wanted more than anything, because He knew that was His source, and it's your source too. Okay.